Tonight, breaking news as we come on the air. Reports of a shooting at a high school graduation. The images coming in right now. Authorities say that shooting at a graduation ceremony. There are reports at this hour of multiple people shot. Pierre Thomas standing by with the news coming in now. Also tonight, the explosion in Ukraine. The dramatic pictures destroying a major dam, flooding an entire region. Homes carried away, residents surrounded in water. And tonight, the new concern over the safety of Europe's largest nuclear power plant inside Ukraine. Tom Sufi Burridge from the war zone tonight. Also, breaking news back here at home. We have just learned tonight former President Trump's former chief of staff, Mark Meadows, has now testified before the federal grand jury, hearing evidence in the special counsel's investigations into Trump. Mary Bruce reporting tonight. From Minneapolis all the way to New York City, the dangerous air quality threatening 80 million Americans as far south as the Carolinas tonight. All of this from the fires in Canada, Trevor Ault reporting. Tonight, authorities investigating the killing of a mother of four in Florida. Police say she was shot through a door by her neighbor. There is news tonight after that air scare. The pilot reportedly seen slumped over while flying. Everyone on board killed after the crash. Why did it take the U.S. military 90 minutes to scramble those F-16s? Martha Raddatz tonight. The stunning turn this evening for the PGA after 2 years of the Saudi-backed LIV Golf taking business from the PGA Tour. Tonight, the merger. The PGA and LIV Golf joining forces, triggering a backlash, including outrage from 9/11 families tonight. The race for the White House, former Governor Chris Christie jumping into the race. Rachel Scott is live. Something not seen in more than 100 years, a royal on the stand, but Prince Harry facing tough questions. And 79 years ago today, the American heroes who stormed the beaches of Normandy, they are America strong, and they're right here tonight.
From ABC News World Headquarters in New York, this is World News Tonight with David Muir.
Good evening, and it's great to have you with us here on a very busy Tuesday night. We do begin tonight with the breaking news as we come on the air. There is word coming in of a shooting at a high school, a graduation in Richmond, Virginia. The images coming in at this hour, reports of several people hit. Families could be seen running from the graduation ceremony, the injured taken away on stretchers. Let's get right to ABC's Chief Justice Correspondent Pierre Thomas with late reporting. Pierre, what have you learned tonight?
David, a scary situation unfolding for high school students graduating in Richmond, Virginia tonight. Report of shots fired near the campus of Virginia Commonwealth University, where graduation ceremonies are being held. We're checking on whether anyone has been injured. Our affiliate is reporting several people shot. We're working to get additional details. A local school official is saying he heard what it sounded like 20 pops. A 7 p.m. graduation ceremony for Richmond's Thomas Jefferson High School has just been canceled as authorities race to the scene, David.
All right, Pierre, I know you'll be reporting into the night on this one. Pierre, thank you. Meantime, the major story overseas tonight, the explosion inside Ukraine and the dramatic images on this front as well, destroying a critical dam and power plant, flooding villages, forcing thousands to evacuate homes seen floating away, and raising new fears tonight for the massive nuclear power plant in Zaporizhia. Tonight, Russia and Ukraine are both blaming each other. President Zelensky says this was Russia and it's a war crime. ABC's Tom Sufi Burridge inside Ukraine. He's near the Zaporizhia power plant for us tonight.
Tonight, a catastrophe unfolding on Ukraine's southern front line. Explosions rupturing the Novokakhovka Dam running across Ukraine's vast Dnipro River. Water cascading through, causing widespread flooding, sparking fresh concerns about the safety of Europe's largest nuclear power plant. War-ravaged communities now underwater.
Oh, evacuation. Oh my God.
Ukrainian officials working to evacuate thousands of people. These men in a boat calling out to anyone who may need rescuing. The roof of a house floating down the river and grain silos destroyed in video circulating online. A zoo on the river saying its animals are drowning. Tonight, fears of an ecological disaster with water contamination threatening a vast ecosystem. Ukraine accusing Russian forces who control the area around the dam of deliberately blowing it up. Tonight, Ukraine's top diplomat saying the Kremlin did it to disrupt a Ukrainian advance.
Russia's deliberate and long-planned terrorist act turned the man-made flood into a weapon.
President Zelensky issuing warnings last year that Russia was planning to destroy the dam. Today, the Kremlin blaming Ukraine. The White House not able to say conclusively what happened, but underlining the scale of the disaster.
What is clear is that the damage to the Ukrainian people and to the region will be significant.
The ruptured dam normally holding back as much water as Utah's Great Salt Lake in a 150-mile-long reservoir, supplying drinking water and hydroelectricity to the region and water to cool the reactors of the Zaporizhia nuclear power plant upriver. With water now gushing out of the reservoir, the UN's nuclear watchdog monitoring the situation very closely, but saying there is no immediate nuclear safety risk.
So let's bring in Tom Soufi Burridge. He's made his way to the Zaporizhia nuclear power plant tonight. And of course, real concern not only over the dam, the entire region, the Ukrainians caught in these floodwaters. But Tom, what have you learned? What's the situation at the largest nuclear plant in Europe tonight?
Yeah, David, the UN's nuclear watchdog saying in just 2 days' time, there might not be enough water left in the reservoir to replenish water reserves at the nuclear plant. But the facility has its own storage of water to hopefully remain safe for months. David?
There have been concerns for months over this nuclear plant that's now been ratcheted up significantly tonight. Tom Soufi Burridge on the scene for us. Tom, thank you. Meanwhile, back in the U.S. and from Washington tonight, another breaking headline. Sources telling ABC News a short time ago that former President Trump's former chief of staff, Mark Meadows, has testified before the federal grand jury hearing evidence in the special counsel's investigations into Donald Trump. Let's get right to our chief White House correspondent, Mary Bruce, tonight. Mary, what do we know?
Well, David, we have just learned that Mark Meadows, Donald Trump's final chief of staff, one of his closest advisors, and someone who was by the president's side during the last days of his administration, has now testified before a grand jury, a federal grand jury, that's hearing evidence into the special counsel's investigations into Donald Trump's attempts to overturn the 2020 election and his handling of classified documents. Now, we do not know yet when Meadows testified, but it is yet another sign that the special counsel Jack Smith's investigations into the former president are entering their final stages. We know that they have now talked with virtually everyone in Donald Trump's inner circle and his former close advisors. David, we've reached out to Mark Meadows. Neither he nor his attorney has any comment tonight. David.
Mary Bruce with late reporting from Washington. Thank you, Mary. Now to the air quality alerts from Minneapolis all the way east to New York City, all the way down to the Carolinas tonight, in fact. Toxic smoke from the Canadian wildfires now threatening the health of some 80 million Americans. This image right here, the New York City skyline, this was earlier today, obscured by the haze. And we're told that haze could be even worse come tomorrow. Here's ABC's Trevor Ault tonight.
Tonight, wildfire smoke seeping across the border from Canada, threatening the health of 80 million Americans.
To the haze, that's coming downstream. The thickest haze and smoke is actually during the evening hours, so the air quality is only going down.
More than 400 active wildfires are burning across Canada, half of them still out of control. The giant plumes of smoke rendering New York City skyline practically invisible. Further north in Syracuse and Rochester, New York, the air quality is even worse.
It smelled like, you know, our neighbors might be having a campfire, and it's just sort of an eerie feeling.
Medical professionals warning the poor air quality is already impacting people.
The immediate health risks are worsening of asthma and worsening of allergy symptoms. It can happen immediately in exposure to this type of air quality.
Can you recall a situation like this in the Northeast or in this area?
This is actually probably the worst I've seen the numbers.
The haze stretching all the way to the Midwest in Ohio and south to the Carolinas. And in some areas, it's forecast to be even worse tomorrow.
And David, experts say this air quality is most dangerous for pregnant, elderly, or very young people. They do recommend staying indoors if you're vulnerable. And conditions are getting even worse. David, in just the last hour, we've watched Lower Manhattan and One World Trade Center disappear completely into the smoke. David.
Yeah, it's really something. We could smell it coming in through the system right here in the studio, and we wondered if it was the wildfires. And sure enough, with that picture, that's definitely what it is. Trevor, thank you. And again, we'll be watching this over the next couple of days. Thanks, Trevor. We continue with the news tonight, and to the mother of four shot and killed through the door of a neighbor's home as her 9-year-old son stood right beside her. Authorities believe that neighbor with the gun had reportedly targeted the woman's young children while they were playing outside. Tonight, the community is demanding the woman with the gun be arrested, but the sheriff on why he says he can't move forward, at least for now. Victor Akendo in Florida.
Tonight, authorities investigating the killing of a Florida mother of four after police say she was shot through a door by her neighbor. According to police, on Friday evening, a group of children had been playing in a field next to that neighbor's home. One of the children forgetting their iPad, and when they went back to retrieve it, that neighbor allegedly threw a pair of skates The children's mother, Ajika A.J. Owens, then going to the neighbor's home, but she was shot through the door as she knocked.
My daughter, my grandchildren's mother, was shot and killed with her 9-year-old son standing next to her. She had no weapon.
The 35-year-old pronounced dead at the hospital. The suspect, a 58-year-old white woman, not yet named by police, was taken into custody and released. According to the sheriff, there was an ongoing feud between the neighbors. In February, police reports state the 58-year-old neighbor called police, alleging Owens picked up a no trespassing sign and threw it at her as she walked her dog on Owens' property.
And authorities say they must now determine if the state's stand your ground law applies here, which depends heavily on a presumption of fear. But there are questions about how this neighbor could have been fearful if she allegedly shot through her front door. David?
Victor Kender tonight in Florida. Thank you, Victor. There's also news tonight in the investigation into that small private jet that crashed in Virginia, everyone on board killed. The pilot had been seen slumped over while that plane was flying in the air near what was supposed to be very secure airspace over this country. The question, why did it take the U.S. military 90 minutes to scramble F-16s? Again tonight, Martha Raddatz.
Tonight, as investigators search for clues in the wreckage of that private jet, questions remain about why it took 90 minutes before fighter jets were launched to intercept the plane. Our Mary Bruce pressing the White House today.
Do you think that the underlying protocol needs to change here?
They responded in a very textbook fashion here, but I also said they'll take a look at this.
Air traffic control losing contact with the pilot just 15 minutes after he took off from Tennessee. Non-responsive, but the autopilot continuing to fly the jet to its programmed destination in Long Island, New York.
It's a simple autopilot. It's not capable of landing the airplane by itself. When it sensed that the pilot had not taken over and descended the airplane, it said, "You must want to go back to the place we took off from."
It is when the private jet approached Washington, D.C., the fighter jets were finally scrambled, the fighter pilots intercepting it just 20 miles northeast of Washington Reagan Airport. Authorities saying the fighter pilots then saw the civilian pilot slumped over and non-responsive, then likely running out of fuel before crashing a short time later. Investigators now looking into a loss of oxygen in the cabin that likely caused the pilot to pass out.
A U.S. official telling us tonight that the authorities were not overly concerned about the civilian plane until it headed back towards Tennessee because it had not veered off its initial flight plan, even though the pilot had been unresponsive for well over an hour at that point. David?
Yeah, that is a stunning fact. Martha Raddatz tonight. Thank you, Martha. Now to the stunning turn tonight for the PGA after 2 years of the Saudi-backed LIV Golf taking business from the PGA Tour and luring some major names with those astounding paychecks. Tonight, the merger, the PGA and LIV Golf now joining forces. It's triggering a backlash from some, including outrage from 9/11 families tonight. Here's ABC's Matt Guppin now.
After 2 years of seeing the Saudi-backed LIV Golf Tour compete against the PGA, today, the unthinkable. They're merging.
There's been a lot of tension in our sport over the last couple of years. But what we're talking about today is coming together to unify the game of golf.
The combined golf league is so new, it doesn't yet have a name, but already is drawing outrage because, like LIV Golf, it would be financed in part by the Saudi Sovereign Wealth Fund. And it was with that financing that LIV managed to poach big names with big money up front. Dustin Johnson and Brooks Koepka, Phil Mickelson. Those players accused of selling out by joining a tour backed by Saudi Arabia, a country accused of human rights abuses, including the murder of Washington Post columnist Jamal Khashoggi.
I don't condone human rights violations at all. I'm certainly aware of what has happened with Jamal Khashoggi, and I think it's terrible.
Last year, Tiger Woods turning down a $700 million opportunity to play for LIV.
What is the incentive to practice? What is the incentive to go out there and earn it in the dirt? You're just getting paid a lot of money up front and playing a few events. I just don't see how that move is positive in the long term.
And golfer Rory McIlroy saying it wasn't all about the money.
Obviously, money is a deciding factor in a lot of things in this world, but if it's purely for money, it never seems to go the way you want it to.
But those PGA players who had turned down LIV only learning of the deal this morning. And tonight, a group representing 9/11 families saying our entire 9/11 community has been betrayed by Commissioner Monahan and the PGA.
David, according to the terms of the deal, the Saudi Sovereign Wealth Fund will be the sole and exclusive investor in this new golf league. That means that a branch of the Saudi government will have a major stake in a major American sport. The new merger also means that the lawsuits between the PGA and LIV Golf will end, but not so clearly with the bad blood between them. David.
Yeah, this had a lot of people talking today. Matt Gutman, thank you tonight. We're going to turn now to the race for the White House. Former New Jersey Governor Chris Christie officially entering the race tonight, the one-time advisor to former President Trump, now vowing to defeat him. And political observers who say Christie is not afraid of going after the former president and by name. Let's bring in ABC's Rachel Scott. She's live in New Hampshire. Chris Christie's first official town hall is now underway, so she's going to talk quietly here. But Rachel, as you know, it's a crowded field already and many looking at the role that Chris Christie might play here.
Exactly, David. And at any moment now, we are expecting former New Jersey Governor Chris Christie to formally enter this race. He's already declared the paperwork for his 2024 campaign, but he's insisting that he's ready to make the case against former President Donald Trump. This is not his first run for the White House. In 2016, he got just 7% of the vote right here in New Hampshire, but he became known as the candidate that was willing to go after others on the debate stage. Tonight, he is making it clear that he's willing to go after Trump directly by name. Tonight, saying that Trump has only further divided the country, David.
A very polite Rachel Scott, always. Rachel, thank you for reporting from that town hall tonight. When we come back on this busy news night, the first time this happened in more than 100 years, a royal on the stand today. Prince Harry, though, facing tough questioning. Also, the American heroes who stormed the beaches of Normandy 79 years ago today, and they're right here with us tonight.
Hey, I'm Andy Mitchell, a New York Times bestselling author.
And I'm Sabrina Kohlberg, a morning television producer. We're moms of toddlers and best friends of 20 years.
And we both love to talk about being parents, yes, but also pop culture.
So we're combining our two interests by talking to celebrities, writers, and fellow scholars of TV and movies.
Cinema, really.
About what we all can learn from the fictional moms we love to watch.
From ABC Audio and Good Morning America, Pop Culture Moms is out now wherever you listen to podcasts.
We've got the exclusive view behind the table. Every day, right after the show, while the topics are still hot, the ladies go deeper into the moments that make the view, the view. The Views Behind the Table podcast. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
We turn now to something that hasn't happened in more than 100 years. A royal taking the stand today. Prince Harry facing off against the British tabloids in court. Facing a punishing four-hour cross-examination himself. He claims the Mirror newspaper group hacked his phone and hired private investigators to get information. The publishers, lawyers pushing back, saying some of what they reported about Harry was already out there. Prince Harry accusing the tabloids of having, quote, blood on their hands.
The first ever criminal trial of a former president is underway in Manhattan. It's one of potentially four trials facing former President Trump as he makes his third bid for the White House. What do voters think about his culpability, and would a guilty verdict make a difference in the election? I'm Galen Druk, and every Monday and Thursday on the 538 Politics podcast, we break down the latest news from the campaign trail. We sort through the noise and zoom in on what really matters, using data and research as we go. That's 538 Politics every Monday and Thursday, wherever you get your podcasts.
To the Index, and we learned today that singer Astrid Gilberto has died. You'll definitely know the song that made her famous.
Tall and thin and young and lovely, the girl from Ipanema goes walking.
Best known for The Girl from Ipanema, the first song she ever recorded, shooting her to stardom, helping to introduce Brazil's bossa nova to the U.S. Her career spanning four decades. She was 83. Finally tonight, the American heroes of D-Day. They defined America strong. Tonight, the images from Normandy. World War II veterans returning on the 79th anniversary of D-Day. Their salutes. 43 World War II veterans flying to Normandy, invited by Delta Airlines and the Best Defense Foundation. The local school children greeting them when they got there, waving American flags.
Hi, David.
Army Staff Sergeant Jake Larson.
Here I am, 100 years old. No aches, no pains.
Hi, David.
Veteran Brandon Williams, a Delta pilot, volunteering to take them over.
To be here today in this hallowed, sacred ground on this day is extremely special.
And we have stayed in touch with the heroes we traveled to Normandy with just 4 years ago. We remember the strangers walking up to them to simply say thank you.
Thank you for everything you guys did. Very good. Thank you.
Tonight, Nono Zakari's family sharing with us new family photos. Nono turning 100, and Nono at his grandson's wedding.
75 years later, just being back here.
This is stunning. It's beautiful.
And Harold Himmelsbach. He will meet his great-granddaughter, Caroline Marie, this weekend for the first time. Stan Friday, we remember the medal he received while we were with him.
The medal part is for the guys that sat there. They're the heroes.
And with us tonight...
Hi, David.
Stan, who turns 101 next month.
I'm hoping to talk to the young people today to see what we went through protecting them, their future. Their future... and hope it stays alive with him.
And Jack Claiborne from Dyersburg, Tennessee, the stranger who handed him flowers.
What did they say to you when they gave you the flowers?
Thank you. Thank you.
Telling us tonight that he's ready to go back to Normandy to mark the 80th anniversary next year.
Thank you for your service.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Jack, Stan, Harold, Ono, we love hearing from you every year. We honor our veterans every night here. And we thank the group that keeps us in touch. Forever Young Veterans. Good night.